Number 17, which is the website project outreach marketing. This is a briefing, and before we get into that, the introduction, Joe wanted to make a few remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to provide a little context. We've got Bruce Botka, who's the head of our public affairs unit, and Peter Verney, who's the head of our licensing division, here to make this presentation. And these guys have both brought additional resources and additional efforts to the agency on along the lines of marketing and public affairs. But I think they would agree, and we would all agree probably, that there's much more to do. And yesterday I mentioned the need for pulling together a strategic plan for the next three to six years is kind of the time frame we're talking about. And I know that in my mind, outreach and marketing will come up again. It came up in our Wild Future listening sessions as a high priority need. I know the commissioners have for a number of years wanted us to improve in those areas. So I think in terms of understanding what the agency's up to now in those areas, this is an important presentation. So you have kind of a baseline of what we are and what we aren't doing on some level. And then as we think about the future and set some objectives and goals for ourselves for the future, you'll have that to operate from. And to, you know, assuming there's resources available, and I talked about the uncertainty of budget yesterday, if there's resources available, you know, some thoughts about the commission about where you'd like to see us put new effort or growth. There's a lot of talk about youth, and there's a lot of talk about trying to reach out to other non-traditional users. You know, we have some efforts going on in that realm as a result of the budgets or other initiatives or areas of emphasis. It would be good for the commission to be engaged in that thinking with us. So just wanted to give you that. I mean, as I listen to this presentation, give you that kind of framework to think from.
Thank you, Joe. Okay. Bruce, Peter, you're away.
No presentation on outreach would be complete without souvenirs, so we're providing a couple of things. Each of you already has a little cardboard rectangle in front of you.
We can open
can
it.
Can we open it?
Boy.
And
it's like the Academy Awards.
Mine has a $100 bill in it.
Do you open them or do you squeeze them?
Only if you lose the tooth.
It is.
You get a $100 bill in it. This is something we've been trying really hard to find.
Whoa, you look really weird.
Trying really hard to find ways to engage kids. And we have a new outreach person in our shop, Rachel Blomker, who's a wizard at finding really inexpensive, cool things out in the marketplace that we can use for like kids' events, educational fun things, and so we're giving away those like crazy. And Commissioner Holzmiller has a couple of samples of another product that we're using to raise the visibility of endangered species, fish, wildlife, modeled after baseball cards that kids used to collect. I think they still do, but these are just really, really fun products. Kids love them. They are educational. They have neat facts about species. And then on the backside, the details. Really a great sort of point of entree into especially non-consumptive, but also just the general world that we inhabit. So with that said, we'll start the formal presentation.
Bruce, just a quick question. These,
sure.
If we found ourselves going to a meeting to give a talk, can we get some of these?
Absolutely. Give us a call, and we'll put together as many packs as you would need.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. So Peter and I are here to talk about marketing outreach and the website replacement project. Not necessarily in that order. We're actually going to be starting with a little outreach focus.
We take some of those down to the UW presentation.
The website discussion. We may be interrupting each other periodically. We wanted to make sure that
as we each have points to make to contribute, that we do it pretty informally, and would really encourage you, if you have questions or comments, to feel free to interrupt us as we go through this. So, with that, we have some values that underlie pretty much everything that we do, and really across the board in community relations, outreach, public information, social media, website content, basically all the tools that we can use to touch the public. And we're quite confident that the more people know about the department and what we do and the goals that the agency has and the commission has, the more supportive that they will be. This isn't 100% true, but in general, we are one of those kinds of organizations that rewards familiarity. The more people understand, the more they really get how all the pieces and programs and people fit together. We are really focused, and particularly in the licensing marketing end, of promoting opportunities for all Washingtonians. The traditional clientele of fish and game, fish and wildlife agencies has obviously been hunting and fishing. Increasingly, as the population grows and changes, the non-consumptive activities are increasingly popular and increasingly important to what we do. We are especially committed to expanding our demographic reach, reflecting changes in the population. I'll come back to that in a little bit. But, you know, groups that have not historically participated at the same rate as the majority population, kids particularly, women. In fact, women make up about 45% of our Facebook audience. And I believe, Peter, you said something like 10% of the license buying population. So that social media platform is a really good way to expand our reach, to connect with women. And then customer service and responsiveness, those two items really are the foundation of the Wild Future Initiative. And that aspect of the Wild Future Project has been really well received. We've gotten a lot of ideas for improvements and have begun in a couple of cases, some pretty major projects to carry that out. Yeah, it's that mouse.
Let's help each other out there. Yeah. Teaming together.
We are, across the board, trying to promote the Fish and Wildlife brand, doing that graphically, doing it by integrating different kinds of communication and outreach, and particularly important to all of these, hunting and fishing shows, marketing promotions, outreach to customers to find out what they like, what they don't like, what they want us to do better. The partnership that has kind of formed over the last few years between licensing and public affairs has not only kind of brought more resources to bear on these issues, but a much wider range of sort of professional specialties are involved. So Peter's got a group in his shop that really focuses on kind of more commercial marketing, basically more direct activity that is designed to result in license sales. In the public affairs shop, the term we use is more social marketing. But we're doing educational work and outreach and timely promotions that really are designed to fit and reinforce what we're doing in the licensing end. And they help us in return. In fact, there's one aspect of the web project right now that has been, we've produced some pretty interesting results that we'll come to in a little bit. Do you want to add on this one?
Yeah, I would just add that, being able to coordinate efforts with Bruce's group, whether it's around the Facebook posts, the social media stuff that his folks are specialized in, and help has been a real big avenue for us to push these promotions, not only with our dealers, but in a wider audience. And so that relationship that the teams have worked on together has really started to, we're seeing dividends from it. And we're really excited for what we can do going forward, especially with the website redesign and a couple other opportunities we have. Brad?
Yes.
Just a quick comment, since Peter was up here. You know, we had to launch a new new computer system this year for license sales and permits and things. And of course, with whenever you do that, you're going to have issues. But I have to say that one of our biggest retailers in the state is in Wenatchee, and so I'm there frequently, and I get to hear how the system's working. And just over a period of 2 weeks, I saw frustrations eased with the system. And the people there, of course, are frustrated when things aren't working. But they assured me that the reps that we have in the field that visit our dealers are much more responsive. They're very pleased with the staff that we have in place that go to the dealers and deal with the issues and find that the department's very responsive, and particularly the reps are very attentive compared to the past. So I just wanted to comment on that. And although there's always burps and fits with the new system, the department has dealt with those.
Yeah, and I'd like to say, too, that, you know, one of our best opportunity to learn about how the system is actually working out in these stores is to talk to people like Alicia in Hooked on Toys and Mark Harrison's Sunbirds and Chehalis and Celia over here at White Elephant. They give us a lot of information that we are actually able to go, and we now have a vendor in place that will listen and react and fix things. And so what Commissioner Graybill is talking about is a printer issue that folks were experiencing.
Right.
We did a recent update about 10 days ago, and it looks like it's fixed a lot of the longer delay problems that some of the dealers were having. I was able to buy my license recently, and it printed off in less than 3 minutes, and that included the time they had to go get the popcorn for the next customer in line. So I was very happy to see that. We are one of the other good things is this system is it's a build out, right? We've got stuff done, but we are going to keep working with our vendor to improve it, make it better, make it more user friendly for the dealers and for our customers across the board.
Sometimes I know vendors you're not happy with. You're happy with this one though?
What?
The vendor?
Yeah, I'm happy with all my vendors.
No, but some that have been troubleshooters in the past, I know that there's been some concern that they haven't, you know.
That's another really good point that the field reps are able to do. They're able to visit these troubled dealers or the problems where we're having with some of these places and train and teach them so that they can use this system to actually help them sell additional sporting goods items. You know, one of the biggest dealer in the state is a mom and pop in Longview called Bob's. Well, people go to Bob's, and it's not on the main drag. It's off the beaten path. I got lost going there the first time I went to find it. But people go there because they have the information. It's the same way with Hooked on Toys in Central Washington. They go there because they know they're going to get the right license. They're going to get information about what they want to do. They're going to get all the things they need to do the opportunity. And so our field reps are working with these guys to say, hey, here's how you sell this item. Here's what you need to add to this. This is what they're going to need for this. So that these people get their full experience.
Yeah, by vendor, I didn't mean the actual... I meant the system fixer.
Yeah, JMT. Yeah. They've been extremely responsive. And you know, we turned this around in 6 months.
Okay.
We were told we wouldn't be able to do it, but we picked a vendor that was really responsive and has been really good and been very good at listening and following through on the project plan.
Because that's a critical position, because if they don't feel they get fixed or feedback, you know, that's hard to repair that relationship then.
So I don't want to divert too much attention to the licensing system. challenge we had, but Peter's really being pretty modest on this. From the moment that the former system got breached to the launch of the new system, I think has the progress, the response has been pretty amazing across state government. I've been asked a couple of times to talk to the various agency communication directors about sort of how we approached this, what, you know, pitfalls we experienced, how we solved problems along the way. And I think there's so much more awareness about the risk now that we got to, you know, break some trail for other agencies that are kind of happy to have some of the lessons now. We also put together a pretty good partnership with the State Office of Cybersecurity and have continued to engage them, and that's been a really helpful relationship as well.
Just another brief comment. I just wanted to commend Peter. The first time that I talked to the dealer in Wenatchee and heard the complaints, I picked up the phone. Peter answered, I mean, on my first call. I talked directly to him. He knew the issue. He knew the vendor, the dealer, and was very responsive. And I was very much impressed with that, Peter. Thank you.
Okay, we'll keep going. So I wanted to spend just a few minutes on the social media aspect of our operation. And at breakfast this morning, I was remembering I've been with the department just about 5 years, and I remember looking at the various web news release informational platforms, social media at the time, and the department was doing a lot at that time and had a significant number of followers. I want to pause for just a second and make sure everyone knows Madonna Lures, who is our office's representative in Spokane and sort of a triple threat in terms of communication outreach and social media. Madonna was carrying that load pretty much solo at that time. The public affairs office had been pretty tightly focused on news release and website content. Since in the last 5 years, we've added a couple people. I think you all know Jason Wettstein. Rachel Blomker is one of his colleagues. Jason, Rachel, and Madonna now collaborate on social media and community relations activities. The number of our Facebook friends, followers, has increased by 500% in the last 5 years. In the last last year, we increased the number of Facebook followers by 25%. Some of this is a reflection of just what's going on in society, so I don't want to claim that, you know, every single thing we're doing is producing incredible return, but we've really had a lot, the work that we've done has had a lot to do with that growth, and it's basically given us access to a lot of people, a lot of families who wouldn't have been touched by the more traditional kinds of communications that the department and all organizations had been relying on before, and so we've used that those channels as a really important way to broaden our message, especially on the Wild Future Initiative. For people who don't fish or hunt, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our newest platform, are great ways to connect with those folks. People who might not come to the department if they think we're just fishing and hunting oriented. So we're working really hard to broaden that messaging, and also then to integrate the activities so that if we put out a news release, if Peter's group is trying to market a season opener, we're using basically every tool at our disposal to reinforce all that information.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a quick question. Sorry to interrupt, but what about other agencies that have a similar mission as Department of Fish and Wildlife? Say, for example, you know, natural resources or the parks. Do they have, I mean, is there collaboration among agencies in terms of, you know, what can we do or what are we doing? And, you know, this is a good idea. Just kind of curious. It seems like, you know, maybe not so much Department of Revenue or other agencies, but, I mean, similarly situated agencies such as DFW.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of collaboration on a few issues, the ones that cross the boundaries. But I think the Discover Pass, the development of the Discover Pass probably drove a lot more collaboration than had existed before. Yes. It also, this is another area where licensing is heavily involved because our system sells a huge portion of the Discover Passes themselves. But we work with, I'll give you just a couple examples. Our shop and the Department of Natural Resources work really closely together on recreation planning activities, specifically most recently in the Tianaway Community Forest. The two agencies have been partnering on the management and operation and development of that forest near Cle'Elum. And so it's given us a chance at the public information outreach and to collaborate in ways that had not happened before. We also work real closely with parks. And an example of that is that our website, we developed a section on our website a couple of years ago called Great Getaways, which was designed to promote family vacations all over the state, focused on fishing initially, but we made a point to put in all kinds of links to other sorts of activities, descriptions of, you know, the state parks, the, you know, services that were available in these communities. And actually, my counterpart of parks helped to edit the content to make sure that we were characterizing their opportunities and their operations correctly. That's one where when we talk about what can we do more of, that's been really well received, and it's just a real challenge to keep freshening that stuff. But there are other examples of it.
Yeah, we're working with recently they hired a business operations person, Todd Tatum, and they have a marketing person in Hollywood. And we're working very closely with them. We're now planning fish this year in some state park lakes that will be included in the Derby. We are also working with them. They have about 400 emails because they get emails with their Discover Pass, 400,000 emails. And so Todd's been able to graciously give us those emails, and so we're able to send out notifications about special hunt opportunities or fishing opportunities out there using their email base, which has been very, very good for us.
Now, that answered the link to fellow government agencies. What about a link to the NGO world? Like, if you went on the TU or the State Audubon site, would there be a link to us? Or could they link to us? Or the TU or the Wild Turkey, and on and on and on. So.
I can't give you organization by organization, but I know there is increasingly that kind of linkage going on at our end. Madonna, do you want to add?
I was just going to say, social media makes it real easy for us to connect with the NGOs and the agencies that you talked
right.
about,
mm-hmm.
because we just keep sharing all the time. They do us, we do them. So that connection is stronger than ever.
Yeah, I just think this would be a really important link to the non-user, I mean, like an Audubon, if they're just looking at the local bird that we learn down the road here, you know, but then you could see what role DFW had in that area, you know, or that.
I'm happy to say I have a little bit more information later that will come.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, yeah, probably jumping ahead.
So want to move through this really quickly, but I did want to make a point that the two numbers there on the bottom right-hand side of this slide, 1.75 million, that's the number of YouTube views we've had through our website in since 2006. I was just looking at numbers the other day, and 40% of those views have happened in the last 2 years. So that reflects the fact that we're doing as much video work as we can. We are really cobbling it together because we don't have a video specialist, but fortunately it's become a bit easier to handle video, and we do have a gentleman in the FISH program in Region 4 named Danny Garrett, and if you've ever looked at the YouTube site through our website, you've seen his work. He actually appears in some of the videos. He's got a real knack for it. This is another area that has huge potential growth for us.
Petition for you. So.
I've mentioned a couple of the numbers that are going to pop up here, so I don't want to spend too much time with this slide. I do want to focus on a couple things. Over about a 15-week period when we were promoting in the early phases of the Wild Future program, Jason and Madonna and Rachel put together a campaign that was essentially weekly focus points that related to the specific elements of the Wild Future package. So fishing, hunting, conservation, the full range, enforcement, habitat, wildlife diversity. And I'm sitting here looking at a real sort of rough outline of what happened. The idea was to keep those issues in front of the public. Didn't want to beat them over the head with it, but so they were integrated with other content, for variety. We averaged about 5,000 to 10,000 views for each one of those Wild Future posts, and each one of those posts reached more people than the total attendance at the community events, the in-person community events we had around the state. I don't want to suggest that this is some kind of substitution or equality, but it's really important for us to remember that on these platforms, more people are seeing and experiencing what we're doing than we even realize on a daily basis. You know, we hit the button on news releases or web content, and we're on to the next thing. So it really helps sometimes to pause and say, okay, how are we doing? What's working? What got traction? What didn't? How can we make changes? And then, again, how can we more effectively promote the activities that are going to result in revenue for the department? Let's see. I don't know if there's anything else. Oh, I did want to mention one thing. Come back briefly to this, too. We have, if you've seen our website recently, at the top left-hand corner, we've installed a website user survey, and we won't keep it up too long, but we need to have the available to get a good cross-section of folks coming to our site. A week ago, maybe 10 days ago, we had had about 700 people take the survey, and it had been up for a week, a little bit more. And so we thought, wow, that's tremendous. You know, we're going to get a lot of good feedback. Well, a couple things happened in the intervening week and a half, one of which was Peter sent a link to the survey to our license holders. And we reached out to coalitions of organizations like Washington Trails Association, Land Conservancies, others. And yesterday, I asked how many responses we'd gotten. We'd gotten 16,000. So we went from about 700 to 16,000 in about 10 days. There is a tremendous amount of interest in the public in our work and what we do and how we communicate that. Our web contractor has never seen anything like it, and they've done public-private websites all over the place. So it's really, it's sort of humbling in a way. That so many people think that what we do is so important. So beginning to sort of see some of the areas where our two shops overlap real tightly. The person I mentioned earlier about, sort of the in-person versus the technologically assisted communication. A lot of planning going on right now across the state in various wildlife areas, making major updates to the management plans. I think the commission has probably heard a couple of briefings on that. Increasingly, our shop is getting involved in helping with the community relations and public outreach on projects. One that's in front of us right now is actually working with DNR and the user group in the Weenass Wildlife Area to restore or sort of give order to the trail network at Monastash Ridge. Another one also at the Weenass is the community process to try to site a target shooting range in a safe location. And all of these issues have, on one hand, have sort of their apple pie and motherhood qualities, and all also have the potential for conflict, you know, between user groups, between land uses. And so we have to be sensitive and aware of that range of issues. And so part of what we do is just to try to help the folks on the ground be successful in that kind of work. On the bottom left of this slide is a reference to the Big Tent Outdoor Coalition. And Chairman Smith, you were asking about some of the non-traditional outreach. I actually sit as an ex officio member of the Big Tent Outdoor Coalition board. I kind of represent the state's resource agencies, and I've been really happy to have been able to do that. This group is 3 or 4 years old. It was formed initially by lobbyists for outdoor recreation and outdoor focused business groups in Olympia who were having trouble getting traction for the message of the importance of the outdoor economy and outdoor recreation to the state as a whole and to communities all over the state. And so at this point, about 45 or 50 organizations have come together under this banner and have begun having a legislative day each session under a big, really big tent, and it's getting bigger every year, and then kind of fanning out to promote their individual organizational messages and the global message of the importance of the economy. This is a pretty new effort. I couldn't really point to large-scale results from it, but it's the beginning of something that I think is going to be really important over the years as these organizations increasingly realize that that working together gives them much more impact than they ever would have, you know, operating as the Okanagan Mountain Bike Alliance or, you know.
Barbara, did you have
a question?
I have a question. Would you please remember to, when you get to the website redesign, to refer back to Big Tent?
Sure.
Because for me, and this isn't altruistic, for me this is probably the most important thing we are doing right now. And as somebody who's just come from the legislature, the outreach and marketing that we can do, not to the detriment of our traditional users, but to the benefit of our non-traditionals, is going to pay off hugely in the next few years. And we already have some established groups set up, like Bruce just mentioned. There are others that can help us with this if we make a concerted effort to reach out. So this is the crux of your presentation as far as I'm concerned. So I want to make sure we get there. Okay. Thanks.
We share cruxes. Now, this is a kind of a partial graphic that shows a lot of connections. It identifies a number of events, but it's really just part of the story. We, over the last 5 years, and Peter, you've been in your job for about two. Our two shops are doing more than we ever have before, and doing it more consciously and thoughtfully, I think. We show up at half a dozen major hunting and fishing shows. Peter's folks are going to events and activities and communities to promote their work. Our outreach folks are adding to the kind of the traditional sort of meat and potatoes hunting and fishing with community festivals, non-consumptive type events, basically events that draw people who love recreation but just don't happen to hunt or fish. And Commissioner Baker's point on that is just right on target. But increasingly, we have the capability, we have the, some nice display equipment, we have the stuff from binoculars to Fish Washington decals to background papers on our policies. And I think that we're making both a more concerted effort and a better coordinated effort in this regard every year. And now, the microphone will turn.
All right. So the sales and marketing team within WFDFW is doing some exciting stuff. And I'm here to share some of the things they're working on with you today. I'm also really excited to tell you that the agency as a whole has really opened their arms to the sales and marketing group, and especially true of Bruce and his team in what we're being able to do, helping us drive some of the marketing efforts we're doing currently. This is currently our second annual trout fishing derby. This flyer is going to be out, and it is out in over 580 dealer partners across the state, a couple in Oregon, a couple in Idaho as well. We're also using the website and social media to get the word out. This has been a very popular event. We've been able to recruit and retain anglers that may have dropped out over the past couple of years. It is a big cross promotion with our dealers across the state, and we just received a $10,000 grant from Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation to advertise the fishing derby. We will be using Pandora radio, which can be very selective in where we market this stuff out, the message out to, and so we're really looking forward to seeing some big returns. Yes?
I think that's really good. I'm a fan of multiple logos on something, and it's just something that when I see brought to you by WFDFW in partnership with, and the word partnership, you know, and if we got a $10,000 grant from Organization X, that's great. But, you know, if I was looking at that and I saw at the bottom five other logos like TU or something like that, and also ask them to partner with us to defray costs. I think it's just when I see a lot of logos, the best one I think recently is Fur Island. When you go into Fur Island and you look at the, you know, off the road and you see the billboard with our name and then all the other logos down there, it kind of broadens the foundation of the effort, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning Fur Island. That was a big project of ours, and that point is just right on target.
Yeah.
Just another comment on that. When we do, oftentimes, when you do partner with that you could put a little article with it, and that can find its way into the subsequent publications of all of these other organizations, which, you know, then goes on their social stuff, and also the outreach is magnified by a factor of many.
Right. So, I'll probably have to talk to Jim and Joe about this, but I think that we might have a green eye shade for you down in the public affairs shop. That's exactly the kind of stuff that we need to do more of.
I need a Merlot eye shade, not green.
And right now, to run a promotion of this size, especially one that reaches out across all corners of the state, you've really got to have some help from, you know, your licensed dealers. We have over 135 licensed dealers involved. Public affairs helps us coordinate the social media and news events. Fish program has been very helpful in just stocking fish, making sure they're out in the lake so that people can catch them on opening day. And then, of course, the customers, their excitement about going out, not only fishing, but having the opportunity to win a prize and bring it back to the dealer locations. So this is, we've got 150 dealers committed. We have over $25,000 in prizes out there. And this year we're tagging 900 fish. Last year we tagged about 700 fish and only had a return on 349 fish that were turned in for prizes. So there's some last year tags out there. This year the tag is different in color, though. It's green as opposed to orange. So hopefully we'll have a little better success out there. One of the things I'd like to point out to you is, you know, since we've been pushing this fishing derby, I was looking at sales for March 30th, April 1st is the new license year, and April 2nd. And I was looking at our sales returns, and I was noticing that we were behind last year's sales by about $400,000. And I was like, wow, I wonder, you know, is the new system causing headaches out there for people to buy licenses? What's going on? Well, then I went and looked at March. And March has turned out to be a record year, a record month for us. So we were able to push, I think fishing licenses were up $567,000. So we were able to push some of those sales to earlier in March than we normally do because we're getting the message out about these fishing derbies. People are excited and they're grabbing their licenses earlier. So the numbers aren't complete yet because there's a couple of things. Discover Pass numbers have to come in, and we've got some dealer numbers that we need to double check on, but it looks very, very, I think fishing's up 27% and hunting's up about 14% versus same March of last year. So looks very, very encouraging.
Actually, to comment, last year redemption of tags was close to 50%. And when you think of that, that's really high, actually. I mean, the odds of someone catching one of these tag fish in a lake amongst all the others. I've been involved with some tag fish derby where they specifically put a number of tag fish in for prizes. And if I saw a year with three tags turned in, that was high. And so the redemption of these tags I consider to be very high at 50%, and you expect them to be even higher.
That's also an indicator that we're putting those fish in the right places where people can catch them, because we raise those fish for people to catch.
Yeah. So that's, and we lean very heavily on Larry Phillips, who was the inland fish person before he became Region 6, and his biologists out here in all the fields. Chris Donnelly has been a huge help, and making sure that they know that we pick the right lakes where people are going to be, where people are going to have an opportunity to catch these fish.
I wanted to mention, too, that my brother works at Hooked on Toys in Wenatchee, and he's at the fishing counter down there, and he said people actually come in and say, I'm going to fish the derby this weekend. You know, as a, you know, that's their object, is to go out and get one of these tag fish. They're fishing the derby.
What do they win? What do they win?
The prizes range from you know, $25 gift certificates all the way up to last year. There were a couple of charter opportunities for folks out of the Siskiyou area and stuff like that. So they range whatever the dealers want to put in. We do kind of suggest that they, you know, make sure the prize is worth the folks coming in. You don't want to just do a $5 gift certificate. We say, hey, instead of giving us 20 of those, give us 10 of $20. You know, one of the exciting things is with gift certificates, as you know, people may have a $25 gift certificate, but they come into the dealer and they spend $50 or $100, and that's really exciting for the dealers.
I also wanted to mention that the page that the derby information is on is interactive. You can go and get the list of the 100 lakes that the fish are in. You can look at the prize list. It's very thorough, and so people can see how what it needs to get involved.
Is one of the prizes a day with the fishing magician?
Oh, no, that's way too expensive.
And like a lot of, like many of our promotions, we put performance measures around them so that we know that we're getting a return on investment, and that we know if we see something that we need to improve on. This is 2016. It generated $323,000. It brought in 16,000 new customers. These are customers who haven't bought a fishing license in the last 3 years. And we had 4,000 customers upgrade from whether they were doing a temporary license before or just a shellfish license. They upgraded to the freshwater or the combination license. This is another one that we've done now for 2 years, multi-season applications and hunts. Multi-season is a deer and elk license that allows you to use all three weapon types, archery, muzzleloader, and a modern firearm. We send out targeted emails to folks who have bought applications in the past. We get really good success. 49% of our folks are opening this email, so that means there's a lot of interest. We have 1 to 3 different flyers in all our dealer locations, and our elk tags. In the multi-season thing, we draw winners. If the winner decides not to purchase, we have some leftover tags. The last 2 years, it's been about 200 elk tags. Those elk tags, well, we open them up at only dealer locations across the state, and dealers tell us that they have anywhere from 4 to 30 people waiting in line to bid those tags, and those tags are selling out in less than 30 seconds. As you can see in the first to the left is the multi-season applications, and we've seen increases in deer by 47%, increases in elk applications by 36%, and then revenue increases of about $80,000 for each. The tags, we spend about $3,500 in sending out postcards and reminders. The really neat thing about this is that we sell out of the elk tags very quickly. Folks are standing there with their money, and then they move over and buy the deer tag. And so we've seen major increases in our multi-season deer tag sales, up to and close to $800,000 a year. We're about 2,700 additional tags that we weren't selling in years past. We've never reached our targeted limit that wildlife gives us, but we're getting closer and closer. I'm a little bit scared that folks are knowing that this multi-season elk tag is very valuable, and so that all the winners will purchase them. I don't want that to happen, because I want folks to be in our dealerships, because their dealers love having them in there, and they're buying the deer tags when we open them up. So it's been a very popular event for folks. This is one of our newer promotions that we're starting. It's a turkey hunting promotion. We have seen and heard from our customers and a lot of different surveys out there that one of the big activities, one of the reasons people hunt and fish is to be out there with their families and friends. And so this is trying to play off, bring a friend to the second most commonly hunted species in Washington State, give turkey hunting a try, not a huge investment. Difficult animal to hunt, there's no doubt about that, but lots of turkeys out there, success rate is pretty good, and so it's an entry level that we want to try to bring folks in. One of our best people, one of our best advertisement is our current hunters and fishers. They can advertise us for us. They can bring friends into this industry. They are very passionate about these sports and these opportunities, and so we're trying to make sure that they walk and talk with their friends and bring new people into the industry to help us out here. This is another opportunity, an entry-level thing that we're hoping to get people to come in and fish. There's an awful lot of clamming opportunities across Washington State. There's a number of beaches that are open. It's a very easy thing to do, very low cost. And so we're promoting clam digging as an entry point for people to come into the sport and give it a try.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Some of you have probably heard me tell this story, but it's so, the clam digging in the season is so important out on the coast that we've actually had, I worked at the Aberdeen Daily World newspaper when I first got out of college, so I was really struck one day to find out that they had actually delayed the start of their press run for the day's newspaper while they waited for us to confirm the clam digging seasons out in the Twin Harbors and up, you know, toward Moclips and stuff. That's money. And stop, you know, delaying your press costs you money. And so they really had to believe in that activity and the benefit to the community.
Yeah.
But it's pretty something out there.
And it also it got, what, 30-second play on King 5 News this weekend that we were opening a clam dig down in Long Beach this weekend. So it's very popular, and the people, the dealers in those locations they depend on those to drive customers in their stores. One of the things that we heard when we went out to Joint Base Lewis-McChord is that there's about 700 brand new recruits that come to the base each month, and these folks are coming from states that did bass fish, and they asked us a number of questions about what the bass fishing is like in Washington State, and there are over 4,000 lakes in Washington State that have bass in them, and as a warm water fish, it's an opportunity to promote. Each one of these is done regionally so that folks in Spokane know what lakes they can fish, and folks in Yakima know what lakes they have bass in, and the same thing in Western Washington. So we think we have a real opportunity to be more communicative about the opportunities that bass present in Washington State. This is kind of a new one that I had not even kind of known about. Some of the folks in the office started hearing about this. Squid fishing, really popular along Western Washington. Very popular for ethnic groups, different ethnic groups, and in the urban markets. It's a good way to reach out to these places where we have not commonly been in the past.
You have told me how.
We've gotten some really good feedback on this. This is a brochure that also that tells people what month is the best opportunity, what counties that in for what month, and it's a real easy fishery, low barrier to entry. You don't need a boat. You can fish it off the piers, and people have quite a bit of success. It's been a big hit for us. We're also working with about four Fred Meyers currently for a point of purchase display. We've gotten some footprint in these Fred Meyers to put these four in there. Well, right now we're collecting data to see if we do see a big bump in sales increases. What I like about this is it gives one single point of information for folks who are walking up to the customer service desk. It also allows us to have a spot in their store where we can put information, whether it be our pamphlets or our flyers or whatever, it doesn't just allow the store to put us off on a side shelf someplace. It gives us a real focused area. Fred Meyer's been very willing to put it right up front, and I'm really excited to see what kind of data that the marketing team's able to pull up with this. I think it's going to be a big win. And
I just wanted to mention that Hooked on Toys, you walk in the door and here are all these cardboard boxes with the tops cut out of them, and that they're just lined up across the floor, and that's how they distribute the regulation. So this could be real handy for an operation like that, and it actually reduces your footprint in the store, which is a big deal with the retailers. That was one of the comments that we got on the new system, was that, they were larger than the last one. And many of these stores, the counter space is something that they fight for, So.
Where are those four stores?
I was just going to ask that, yeah.
Let's see, there's one in each one of the field reps regions. So there's one in Eastern Washington. I believe it's over here in Spokane. I believe it's the Spokane Valley one that they just did a remodel on that store.
Jay, you must have been there at some time in your life.
Right. His girlfriend.
Yeah, that was right.
I knew that was a mistake. Turn you guys around.
And there's one in the Mill Creek area. Another one. I'd get you definite locations. Each one of the field reps has one in their location.
So when do you think they'll make a decision about, total...
Right at, we're going to make a decision at the end of May. Okay. We've put them out there in December, so normally a very slow month. So Greg's our sales and marketing manager's wanting to see, wants to go through a little bit of a time frame here.
If I don't know how or why I know this, but so I live in Seattle and I live in the Ballard neighborhood, and Ballard has a Fred Meyer. Ballard's Fred Meyer is the biggest, has the most business of any Fred Meyer in their operations. And I think number two is Bellingham.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if it's the target clientele in Ballard, but I can say there's a real cross-section of folks that go through there. And, so that might, I'm not a marketing whiz, but I just happen to know it's in my neighborhood. So
the response we've gotten from Fred Meyer is, yes, we'll take one in every one of our stores now. They've been very excited, so that's been an opportunity. And then, just before I turn it over to Bruce, I'm fully aware of the department has a lot of very big policy issues that they deal with on a constant basis. But we also are running a business, and that business is in a really highly competitive marketplace right now. Folks have a lot of different opportunities to spend their money, and so the activities that we are trying to do with marketing and with Bruce's team, it really makes me excited for what the future can be here. The investment that the agency has put into the sales and marketing team and what we have, the team that we've put together, we're hearing from a lot of other states across the nation to tell us what you're doing. You're actually out there communicating with your dealers, and you're not just telling them, hey, sell my licenses. We're helping them to drive customers into their stores and to buy more products. And in the long run, that will be very beneficial. I do agree that, funding for wildlife agencies is going to change. It's dramatically going to change in the next 10 years. I can show you statistics on the aging of our customer and the population. So we've got to look for opportunities to really connect with folks. When you look at a lot of the survey stuff, you see that fishing remains in the top five activities that people do outdoors. But the number one activity is exercise. The millennials are out there exercising. They want to be out in the outdoors. And how do we engage that person to look at doing, an opportunity to go hunting and fishing while they're doing this exercise? While they're hiking, they can fish high mountain lakes. How do we connect with those folks? That's going to be, that's really the focus and challenge that the sales and marketing team and the licensing division will have to undertake in the next few months. Thank you.
I think we all agree with that, too.
Yes.
So before I launch into the summary of the website project to date, I just wanted to mention one thing. I'm continually struck by the quality of the graphics and the illustrations and the interest value that are reflected. Peter's got a graphic designer, Amanda Robinette, who helped with this presentation and who is doing some really terrific work. And also, I don't want to overlook the graphic designer who works in my shop, Peggy Yushikoff. Peggy is the designer of the Fish Washington graphic imagery. She handles a lot of the design of other publications and work. We have two people who are really making a big difference in the quality of the material we're able to put, on screen in people's hands, and I really just wanted to make sure I gave them credit to you. They play a really important role. So we didn't have very much going on a couple of years ago, so we decided it'd be really cool to replace the website. It turned out to only have about 9,000 pages and 80,000 PDF attachments, and more stuff than you can shake a stick at. It is without a doubt the most important communication tool we have, but it's more than a communication tool, because since the agency really has embraced it over the last, particularly the last 10 years, and as consumer behavior has changed, this is the website is critical to the business of the department in ways that I don't think very many people really projected, except maybe folks like Bill Gates and Paul Allen. it's just the centerpiece of what we do. And as it has aged, it has increasingly resembled an archaeological dig. There's a lot of stuff there, and we really did. We felt like we had reached a point where it needed to be really scrubbed and redesigned and brought up to date. And we have, you know, some pretty important goals. This look at the website, this revision of the website, more than what's happened before in our shop, is going to be focused on meeting the needs of the people who come to the site. That's one of those statements that sounds like, yeah, well, you know, why wouldn't you do that? But the reality is that for a lot of organizations, and I think this is especially true of public sector organizations, websites have been built and populated with the needs of the organization in mind, more than the needs of the visitors. And just simply turning that focus in a different direction is really helping us better understand how the website is used, what people want, what they want from the department, not just from the website. And we've hired a contractor called Anthrotech out of Olympia, which specializes in what's known as user-centered design. They've done a lot of this kind of work. They do it systematically. They do it with data. And we are locked in with them right now at the first phase of the project, which is essentially scoping and user research. So we are focused on meeting the needs of our customers. We know that there are organizational improvements that are, there's some low-hanging fruit there for sure. You know you've got organizational issues when your webmaster has to use the search function to find something in the site. And I think, you know, we all just kind of live with that. There's not enough intuitive organization to the site, and that's going to be a major focus of this project. Over half of the people who come to our website currently are coming from mobile devices, smartphones, tablets, pads. Maybe people have better eyes than I do, but when I try to use our website for my smartphone, it makes me a little crazy. I don't really have a good experience with it. The print is pretty darn fine. And the site wasn't really scaled. It couldn't have been scaled when it was done before to that technology. This is another really important element of the project. And finally, standards for under the Americans with Disabilities Act, both federal and state, have been changing and becoming more stringent. And as our population ages, people who need more assistance, we need to pay more attention to making that content accessible to them. So those are four real important goals of the project. We have we've set up a
Bruce.
Excuse me.
I have a question. Maybe not so much about the project itself, but in terms of funding, is this part of the agency's funding request that's tied with the kind of the fee bills and such, or no? It's separate, or
this? Thank you for that question. I should have mentioned that. In 2015, we asked for and received, I think it was 2015, supplemental funding, and the legislature authorized funding specifically for the project from the state wildlife account. The line item was for $569,000. We have about a $400,000 contract, and the remainder of that funding was to hire additional staff to work the project and then be able to operate and maintain the new site after the project is completed and the new site is launched.
So funding, we have
funding's in hand.
Okay, good.
Both and one of the real nice things about this is funding is in hand not only to create the new website and launch it, we are also buying 12 months of post-launch support from the contractors, so they won't be just, you know, handing us the car keys and leaving. And the other is that we do have ongoing funding stream to allow us to do what we need to do to operate, maintain, expand, build on the base project. So that's been a real bonus for us right now.
And Bruce, just for education of the commission, you might mention the role that the commission's ADA committee has been involved in.
Yeah, actually, one of the great benefits to the project has been the engagement of the commission's ADA advisory committee, and partly because the current website is not ADA friendly. It's not ADA compliant, and there are huge legal and financial risks to organizations that don't respond and don't take this on in a meaningful way. In fact, as we were trying to work the budget request a couple of years ago, there was a story in Education Week magazine that the Seattle School District had settled a lawsuit on this very subject at a cost of about $700,000. And when I looked at what that $700,000 bought, it didn't buy what we're doing, but they're spending more money and getting a lot less because they really had missed opportunities to address it along the way. So the ADA committee, not only in raising the visibility of the issue, but in working with us, with our budget analysts at OFM, got their attention, got the governor's office support, and it really helped. It really helped get approval for the project. So quickly, we have, I mentioned our contractor, Anthrotech. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jay. You dropped a little gem here back just a few sentences ago that I think needs to be reiterated and pointed out. Because you said that the website was more friendly to the department than the public. And poor Jim had to listen to me rail this morning at breakfast. Joe got to listen to me rail last night over a couple beers. And this whole marketing concept, and just exactly what you just said, who's working for who? And this is something that needs to be from the top, from the nine of us sitting here, all the way down to the bottom of this agency, is everybody needs to remember who's working for who. And there again, you guys are doing a fantastic job here, but it needs to go further in the department, and we need to put some emphasis on this, of who is working for who and what we can do to be more marketing friendly. There's a whole lot of things that I see outside, and it's been snowballing with me for about 6 months, and it just keeps becoming more apparent. And what you guys are doing sounds fantastic, but it needs to go a lot further than you two guys in this department, that we need to remember that, and that we are selling products. And when we're working with legislatures or whatever, because that's where we're going to get funding. And it's just a whole lot of how marketing is done and issues are presented. Chris Donnelly came down and met in Clarkston. We had a fish meeting. And he had a really sorry story to tell, because fishing in our part of the world is going to suck this year. And it was just amazed me how well he presented it. And there was a little bit of pushback, but Chris did an amazing job of explaining to people why it was set up that way. And this is the third meeting I've attended in Clarkston, and the first two, it was just a war zone. People have pissed off, you know, and the way Chris presented it, it was going, okay, yeah, we got a couple bad years, and then we can go ahead. But this is pretty funny, because, like I said, poor Joe had to listen to me rail on this, and so did Jim, that we've got to stand back and remember that we are in the PR business from one end of this department to the other. and I think we need to put a whole lot of emphasis on this. Joe was talking about strategic planning yesterday, and I think we all have to keep this in the back of our mind going forward, who the customers are. And it isn't just hunting and fishing. It's from one end of it to the other, because ranchers and farmers run a lot of big game. And we've got to keep it so, you know, you guys want to buy all the ground for wildlife habitat, but private property provides a lot of habitat. And people will gladly doing it as long as we can keep it so that animals on their place is an asset and not a liability. So, no, I'm cheering you guys on, truly am, but you, that was a gem that everybody needs to remember. So, thank you.
Yeah, one of the times when I was out visiting a dealership in Leavenworth, the owner, when I was talking to him, said, one thing I want you to remember, your customer is my customer, and my customer is your customer. And I think that's, I've remembered it was about 4 years ago when he told me that, and that's kind of what I live for is saying, hey, you know, our dealers are dealing with our customers, and we need to remember that. We need to make sure that they have everything they need to be able to give our customers the type of service level they expect. And so I think it's really important that we understand who we're working for here.
And it's frustrating for myself. I grew up hunting and fishing, and fishing season used to be a huge deal in our part of the world. But sadly but true, with the endangered species, I didn't leave fishing. Fishing left me, because we just do not have the opportunity. But we need to keep telling people, okay, we understand your frustration to this, but here's some other opportunities. And there again, I see Dan Ron back here, and that's going to be, and I know that they're enforcement people, but they still, we got to try and even tell our enforcement people, well, that they're even in sales. Granted, they're enforcement, but still, they're a big part, a big representation of the department. And I think it just needs, in strategically going ahead, if we're going to be successful, this is a huge component of this whole process if we're going to be successful. So, thank you.
I'm conscious that time is moving faster than I am, so I'll try and pick it up a little bit here. We have several teams of folks working on the website project. We have the business and technical teams. Business is a term of art. It really means content. We have a team of people from my shop. It includes folks from Peter's and from across the agency, both programs and regions. We're being really, really attentive to the needs of the folks in the agency who work around the state. This is not just, you know, a bunch of people in NRB in their echo chamber. A couple things we've done. I mentioned the website survey earlier. While we are primarily going to be user-centered in our focus, we have to be attentive to the needs of the department, because we have a legal mission, there are legal mandates, there are various obligations that the state has and that the department has to make content available publicly. And the site is the best way to do that. We're also looking as closely as we can at how people use the site now. In addition to surveying them, we're purchasing some tools to do what they call crawling the website, to inventory the pages. We've bought another tool that actually looks at how people behave when they come to your page. Where does the mouse go? What do they click on? And we'll learn a lot about how people are using our site and using sites generally. All three of these items are happening in the first phase of the project, which will really let us tee up a more specific work plan as we get into the summer. The timeline for the project, we've set it up as an 18-month project because of a number of factors that are really too numbingly boring for me to cover here. We got a later start than we had hoped, but by next summer, We feel like we ought to be in position to launch the new website, and it's, we know that some work will continue because of just plowing through the depths of the content that's there now. I did want to mention, and I don't know if this is a good time, but I'm going to throw it in here anyway. And this is kind of my own personal perspective, but I think it's shared pretty widely. There are three kinds of subjects that are incredibly important for us year-round. Doesn't really matter what might be happening on the ground or in negotiations, but wolf management and conservation, lands, acquisition, management, operations, and salmon, season setting, allocation, those three things, wolves, lands, salmon. They're on my whiteboard. They're the three things that matter the most. We work on them the most frequently. I noticed Diane Gallegos in the room earlier. One of the things we're also doing with the website is thinking about how we can configure the wolf conservation portion of the website to more effectively communicate with the public, and particularly to represent the perspectives of the members of the Wolf Advisory Group, who have made a ton of progress in coming together in a consensus way to address conservation and management issues. Those we get a lot of interest in all areas. On the land side, in addition to just the sort of the politics of it and the activity of obtaining managing land, we are also going to be looking very hard at the recreational identity of those lands, which is sort of shorthand for saying how can we be more welcoming to the public on those lands while preserving the primary mission of those properties, so that where there's critical habitat involved, we're recognizing that, but where there are opportunities for public access and involvement, especially, you know, pursuits like kayaking, mountain biking, new non-consumptive, we got to find a new word for that.
We do.
Anyway, throughout all of this website project, I want to make sure that I let you know that we are really going to be attentive to those kinds of issues.
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
And in that vein, that's in our part of the world, we've got a lot of ground, and it is not user-friendly. We've got big chunks of ground that people would love to be able to pull up there with a gooseneck, dump off some horses, and go riding, and they are just not friendly to it. Do it. That, there again, the 4-0 ranch. Yeah. You go up on either Mountain View and or Grouse Flats, and you're going to park your gooseneck right in the damn trail, in the road, is what you're going to do. And that's something that I've been beating on. It sounds like we're going to do it. But what you're saying is absolutely correct, that is a big deal.
Well, it's you know, for those of us who work in my part of the department, and I suspect in Peter's as well, this is personally important. I use our website, you know, when I have time to take off for the weekend. I'm using Fish Washington to see where I might go fishing. I'm looking at wildlife areas to see what possibilities exist there. And so I want that, you know, for myself, for my family, for kids, for, you know, this is our competitive advantage. We have this incredible resource and that we can share. And we can still protect our conservation values. Put up just I'm sorry.
So just to try to put a little finer point on it, first off, thank you very much. All that, this made me want to join the fishing derby, and I don't even fish much. So
we can take care of that.
You guys are doing a great job. The thing about this website redesign right now, where we are, especially with the fiscal challenges that we have, is that we're not going to get this opportunity again anytime real soon to spend $500,000 on a website. It seems to me that the pieces are kind of floating out there, and what we need is a marketer or somebody to look at that in terms of potential and bring it all together. And that isn't, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's not just talking about current customers or people who may get on the website and want to fill out a form, or hunters or fishers. It's everybody else. And my particular interest in that is that as the wild side of parks, we don't have the ability as well to earn money the way that they do. We can't, you know, just change our hunting and fishing fees as we would like. I want to see us put pressure on the legislature to fund our agency. That's exactly why I think this is important. And so we need to draw in a bunch of people who aren't currently drawn in, just like Jay was just saying. How can we help you do that? And what do you need from us, if anything, to start looking at? I mean, I know you are looking at it. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help?
At this moment, probably the most helpful thing that we can all do is to think about what context we have in the outdoor realm. Organizations, individuals, conservation groups, all sorts of groups. I mentioned the Big Tent Outdoor Coalition. Yesterday, the coalition sent our message to all of their member organizations, and those organizations probably have several hundred thousand members across the state, and there are a few hunting and fishing groups in the coalition, but it's the vast majority are people who don't hunt and fish, who may not have come to our website or have come briefly and thought, oh, that's not for me. And so we're reaching out to them to find out not only what they think about our current site, but also what don't you see? What do you want more of? And I don't know how our contractors are feeling about this today, but there is one open-ended question in the survey. And so at this moment, they've got 16,000 written answers probably, or 12 or 14 to review that are producing, I think, probably a lot of the kind of information that you're referencing. But in terms of individually, what you and we can do, if there are people and groups that you'd like to reach out to or that you've got relationships with now, please point them toward all they really need to do is go to the homepage of the website, and they'll be able to have input into this project.
Just as a follow-up on that, both what I've learned is that this isn't original thought. People are way ahead of me, including Commissioner Thorburn, Commissioner Smith, and Director Unsworth, who all attended the, what do they call that, the Wildlife Forum last year.
North American?
That's 50 groups of pretty much conservation, but it was also ducks and trout and backcountry horsemen. So there were people there that are just really offering to get involved. We have the governor's task force happening, and then we have whomever else. And so it feels to me like we are going to rebrand, to use an overused word, ourselves a little bit here, but I think we could help on a little bit of a more formal basis than just sending people to you, because all you're going to get is 16,000, hopefully times 10.
And that could be part of the governor's task force that we could delve into. And another thing maybe is the liaison to the Big Tent Committee, but I think we're all in agreement that the word non-consumptive is a boring, overused, antiquated term. Challenge, and this could be a request from us, from WA, through you to the Big Tent Committee, to have a subgroup or whatever, however the mechanism works out, to come up with a list of 10 new names. Somebody's got to focus on this. And maybe AFWA could have done it, but maybe it's too big. But I think whoever comes up with something really good, a good new term, it will go national.
I can tell you from just my own experience, an awful lot of people in groups are thinking about this. No one has really liked my non-lethal suggestion.
I don't like it either.
Hasn't caught fire yet.
It needs to. That responsibility needs to go somewhere, at least to start the process. Of coming up with, here are 20 ideas, and see. Because right now it's just too fragmented. So
I don't want to lose Commissioner Baker's point either about the involvement of the commission members. We'll do some thinking on that and be a little bit more systematic than we've been able to be to date.
And Jay, you have.
But I really appreciate the offer.
And one other thing that we need to do is approach this with a little bit of humility. We all think that everybody at the top is where all the good ideas are going to come from, and that isn't the case. We need to have some feedback back loops in the department to where, I don't care if it's a summer hire, the kid may have a hell of a good idea. Or there again, the enforcement people, they're our face out there. If they are running into things, there needs to be some feedback loops in this so they can kick them up the chain and they don't get lost.
Thank you for that. That actually fits something that is in the fine print in one of the slides. But there are two points I want to make real quickly on that. The next we're doing, the user survey we're doing right now is broad focused. We have a way for, we're letting people kind of indicate where they're coming from. So if they're within the department, if they're from different kinds of organizations or interests, they can tell us that. So we'll be able to shred those results by interest group. So that's one. The second one is we have our next, we will be doing a survey specifically to the employees of the department. That's critical. And your point about ideas, not always the best ideas coming all the time from the top. We prove that to ourselves every day. So we're making a real point of talking to line staff throughout the department. Also, the teams of people that we have include representatives of the regions, and we're spending a lot of time working with the customer service folks in Peter's shop, in the regions, in the fish program, wildlife, etc. Because those folks are really on the front line of public interaction, and they are representing the agency on a really literally minute-to-minute basis. And so they will be playing a key role in all of this, in the information gathering, and then the execution of the new site.
I just want to mention, Jay, to your point, that last year Bruce invited me to one of their meetings, a very formative meeting on the new design. Just because he knew I was familiar with the website and as part of my activity, just to touch base and just explain to him and get my input on the direction they're going. So, you know, they're reaching out and they're talking to people that might have suggestions and guidance. And that started last year.
And I agree, Dave, but I still think that the lowest guy in the food chain needs to be, if he's got a valid point, it needs to be recognized and not just, yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just respect of that, and everybody looks at stuff with a little different angle, and it's just sometimes those come up with some pretty amazing ideas.
Absolutely. We're not just paying lip service to this. This is a big deal, and it matters.
And what Commissioner or what Barbara said, if we can be of value, at least I'll speak for myself in my region, if you want somebody to, you know, participate in something, Don't hesitate to call them, that sort of stuff, because we're sincere. We this is really important, and we want to help you. And unless how we can engage, that we will leave to you guys to help.
So
call me. Don't be afraid.
We will not be afraid to ask. And thank you very much for that. We totally feel the support that comes from this commission for this work. And it just that, just knowing that, just having these kinds of conversations really matters and helps. And people are paying attention to it. I want to blow through a couple of quick pieces right now because we're running short of time. Little pyramids, not to scale. Couple things. The two pyramids on the left basically demonstrate a session is somebody coming to the website and hanging around. More than half of them are from mobile devices. I mentioned that earlier. Those are some pretty large numbers. 33 million page views, and this number is about 4 or 5 months out of date, but that's in a year. So it's it's pretty astonishing. That's over 5 million individual visitors. And the average time that they're spending on the site is a little over 3 minutes. That's I don't think that we necessarily want to think that raising that amount of time is necessarily a completely good thing, because some people don't want to spend more time. They're there for a particular purpose. They want to get in, they want to get out, they want to get in the truck and go fishing or hunting or whatever, hiking, and so they want to be able to get information quickly. And we need to both interest them to stay longer if they want to, but serve them more quickly if that's what they want. So again, a user focus. So what's next? We've got nothing else going on for the next 2 years. So Wild Future, we've talked a little bit about already. That's we're going to be, as the session progresses and as we sort of recalibrate, one of the things I think is important for us to do, and it's in keeping with the original intent and Dr. Unsworth's articulation of why we're doing it, to demonstrate customer service and responsiveness. It isn't all about funding. The timing of the Wild Future Initiative has focused on funding recently for obvious reasons, but as a long-term effort, we need to be consistently thinking about the customers and about the way we respond to the public's priorities. We've talked a lot about elevating the visibility of non-hunted, non-fished wildlife. That's another beautiful construction for non-consumptive. I mentioned the recreational identity, so I won't talk about that more. I did mention video production. One of the things we lack is a central production editing capacity. Funding is going to be very questionable at this point, but what we're doing in our shop is getting ready with some planning so that if funding becomes available, we're able to move quickly on that front. That's the biggest gap, really, in what we're able to do in the full range of services.
So Bruce, on the video production, just a curiosity, that last week I was giving a presentation in the United Arab Emirates, and it was about a bunch of different stuff, but one of the things that I did show was the video that was prepared for the director, and people really liked it. So now, thank you for putting that together, because you can actually put down in your credits that that video was seen by a prince. Not the musical kind that's in the ground, but who said, "That's very nice." Well, that's my Italian accent for him.
That is right. Yeah. That is beautiful. Yeah. And you probably needed to have some of those little binoculars for him, too.
No, but it was well received for about 15
that's great.
Nationalities that were there. And it really was a nice showcase for Washington State.
Yeah. Madonna and her partners in the outreach end did a lot of work on that with Danny Garrett in the Fish Program. So, I can't really say enough about the work that the three people I mentioned earlier are doing. They're way more creative and talented.
Well, that was an example of when we saw that collectively, we all said, "Can we get that?" So it was sent to all of us, and then I used it from that email that came out as an attachment. Yes. So I mean, we can.
And that's the kind of leverage that
exactly
we can
just use us in these ways. Yeah.
I don't want to walk away here without talking about the Fish Washington app under development. I think you've had briefings on that, so I won't belabor it. The other piece that goes with the app is also the rule simplification project. My shop's involved, and Peter's as well, and enforcement with the Fish Program on that front. That's a load of work there, but really important. And again, responding to what we've heard consistently from the public, we have begun digging in on outreach to groups we haven't served well in the past. I mentioned that earlier. A couple weeks ago, our two groups had a meeting with a gentleman named Mike Sotelo, who is extremely active kind of across the state in communication, newspapers, publication, career assistance to the Hispanic community. And we met with him for a couple of hours, and he was just like one idea after another. And so we're going to be following up on that as well, as quickly as we can. And that's also an issue in terms of the website project too. We want to make that welcoming to people of all races, ethnicities, linguistic backgrounds, what have you. New license packages. I think we talked a little bit about that and can talk more, I think, if folks are interested. One thing I wanted to mention that's another new effort, we've connected with the League of Women Voters and OSPI at statewide level to help to develop and insert curriculum into a new statewide offering for K-12 students It's a fairly broad-brushed look at Washington State, but we've got a foot in the door there to get information about what we do and our issues and the environment into that mix. I can't tell you exactly where that's headed because the conversations have just started, but it's something that we're going to continue to strive to work on and build out. I think that does it.
Just on that last point, yesterday we had a I don't think you were here when we had the presentation by the Future Farm FFA group. And
yeah.
I think it just refocused and rekindled the need that we have to do. So a few of us were talking about revisiting the initiative that you were helpful in.
The youth council and the youth outreach.
Yes,
yep.
You know, for whatever reasons, given the timing of the recession and on, it just didn't materialize the way it should. But I think there's enough interest amongst us to get that, at least the dialogue started again with the commission.
And the platform is still there.
We haven't
been able to make as much progress as we wanted. I think we shared that with you. Mm-hmm. But the platform is still there, and we're going to be able to build on it.
And I think we will have to look about just squeezing out a buck or two here and there to do it this time. But I think, as we've talked about before, we will be remiss as an agency if we don't engage the youth more directly now.
Finally for me, I don't know if Peter has any concluding comments. We've talked a lot about what our groups are doing, what we're doing together. We couldn't do any of this stuff if we weren't also connecting as solidly as possible across the department. I have maybe because I've lived in different parts of Washington, I have a particular priority on including the regional folks, the folks who are not based in Olympia. Frankly, they know a heck of a lot more than we do about what's going on the ground, and we'd be really knuckleheads not to take full advantage of that. But everybody that we work with is really helpful. The level of commitment out there is humbling and inspiring. So, and your commitment is also incredibly important to us. So, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I haven't been saying much. I just want to add my gratitude. This is such a great effort and important, as everybody has said. So I'm going to sort of toss out my suggestion on the non-consumptive. I hate it as well. And Bruce, they didn't like me when I first called myself the non-kill representative. So.
Yeah, no, we didn't really.
No. the OFWA initiative is rebranding itself. Conservation actually is a little bit difficult to be promoting in some circles and these days, and so its new name is the Alliance for Fish and Wildlife.
No,
so perhaps we could be Fish and Wildlife Allies. And that would include all of us, you know, the traditional and non-traditional. I've kind of started using that word. And the reason I'm thinking about including all of us is, and I'm sure it's because you were presenting this to the commission, I was a little bit concerned listening to it that there was so much focus on us non-traditional and the outreach to us and capturing us, because as I'm very interested in this, one of the things that I really wanted to work on is bridging the groups. I hear paranoia from our traditional constituents as we work on this, and we need to, we all want the same thing, and that is healthy fish and wildlife for all of our enjoyment. And I don't think the non-traditionals really understand that about the traditionals, that, they're probably the most important historic wildlife conservationists. So if we could come up with a term that embraces all of us and maybe just separate it by traditional and non-traditional or something like that. But so fish and wildlife allies is what I'm going to throw out as my suggestion.
There was quite a bit of research done between 10 and 15 years ago on the language of conservation. Mm-hmm. I still have multiple reports in my office that I actually keep sort of close to the top of the pile of stuff that clogs that place. And it's a really good, they're good reference materials. The conversation does change over time. Different terms take on different connotations. We know in the work that we do and just in the way that our staff is divided and the way that Peter's staff functions in terms of license sales, fishing and hunting will be the meat and potatoes of fish and game, fish and wildlife agencies, and that's as it should be. I'm kind of channeling back to some things that Jim said when we started the Wild Future Initiative, and it was that initially we were going to intentionally focus first on our traditional clientele, and that really made sense. And the next is to increase the size of the tent and to bring in folks who haven't traditionally been involved. So we can, we sort of live with that attempt to balance, and I think that we do a pretty good job of it most of the time. And it's definitely front and center in the website conversation.
But back to Kim's issue, and there again, having spent my entire life where I have, everybody comes out there and go, oh, we want to move out here because you have all these big fields and nice this. But, boy, you can't imagine how pissed they get when I'm driving cattle down the road or somebody's moving a piece of farm machinery down the road. You just kind of, from time to time, well, if you don't like it, move back to California is where our attitude is. So, that being said, just what Bruce said, hunting and fishing is the meat and potatoes of this deal. And so when people want to come, they have to remember this is where it was started. You're more than welcome to come and visit. You're more than welcome to do this, that, or the other. But this is what, I guess, dance with the girl that brung you is what it comes down to. So I think we need to watch that debate a little bit. And no, it you're welcome. But we can't change all our traditional uses because, there again, this was how the place was bought. PR money is used for an awful lot of this. You're more than welcome to come. But there's probably people going to be out there hunting. Who'd have thunk it, So we just have to remind our non-traditional users of that.
Yeah, just short, Jay, too, because three of us are leaving in 60 minutes. For a shuttle, so we still have some things, so go.
All this talk of meat and potatoes, I just wanted to say, maybe don't give up on that non-consumptive yet, because you could create a non-consumptive cookbook how to track and view wildlife and enjoy things you don't eat. I don't know, just a thought.
did you have
that
a girlfriend?
Sure.
Sorry, man.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I think my time here is up.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thank you. And this is a discussion that will be ongoing, and we stand ready to help you and look forward to continual briefings.